In 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed their sister, Catherine. And this is what the telegraph said. "We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." That's cool. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message, all excited. He glanced at it and said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the most important news. The most important news is that man had flown, and he missed it. And I don't want to bury the lead at Christmas. We can easily bury it with all the stuff. We can bury it with all the trappings. I mean, some of y'all are Amazon freaks. You got 5 Amazon packages a minute showing up at your house. Those poor Amazon, put some snacks out for the Amazon guys, I'm saying. They're working late at night. Have a little compassion. I don't want to bury the fact that Jesus Christ came to this planet and it's all about Jesus and it's not about me. Amen? It's about the light of the world. Last week we saw that Jesus is the light. But I want to look at this same thing, the fact that it's all about Jesus, but I want to look at it from a slightly different perspective. For lack of a title for this message, John the Baptist was probably better known, would be better of known to be called John the Spotlight. And say it again, John the Spotlight. I think that's a great, or John the Preparer. He came to prepare the way of the Lord. I want to talk about John the Baptist for a moment. And just let me back up and I'm going to give you just the scriptural kind of history. And then let's get practical as to how we can make this Christmas season amazing. The scripture says in Luke's gospel narrative about the birth of John the Baptist that Gabriel, archangel of the Lord, appeared to the priest Zechariah and tells him his wife Elizabeth is going to give birth to a baby and they're going to name him John. He tells Zechariah that his son John will go on, the scripture says, will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. So with a prophet's heart, the spirit and power. Elijah was a prophet. To turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. To make ready the people prepared for the Lord. And then in the sixth month of her pregnancy, Gabriel returns at this time and announces to Mary that she is going to give birth to a child, which obviously she struggled with because she's a virgin. They said, "Relax." Basically, the angel said, "Relax. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And you're going to give birth. You'll be called Jesus, the Son of God, the Most High." Mary becomes pregnant, and then Luke records this incredible account that I'm trying to get there as quickly as I can. But this incredible account where Mary's at home, and all of a sudden Elizabeth comes to visit. Let's pick up the story right there. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill. I'm sorry, Mary was visiting Elizabeth. Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She totally knows what's up. "The mother of my Lord has come to me." Listen to what she's saying. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now, just for a moment, the Jews had read all these scriptures. They'd heard the promises of a Messiah. This was not like unknown stuff. It'd been a long time. They'd been waiting a long time. But here is literally their dreams are about to come true. The promise is about to come to pass. The promise is inside of Mary. And all of a sudden, when there's this encounter, John the Baptist, or the preparer, or the spotlight, leaps on the inside of her. John the Baptist recognizes exactly who she is. It says, in his mother's womb, he leapt for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and then she begins to kind of prophesy or speak out and declare things. The prophet Isaiah and Malachi both prophesied about the birth of John the Baptist, saying that he was going to be the one to prepare the way of the Lord. There's going to be someone come along that's going to prepare everyone's heart for the Savior to come into the world. Again, I love that he's the preparer or the spotlight. And I want us to focus on that concept today. John's gospel starts with these words. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." The gospel writer John writes this about John the Baptist's interchange with the Jewish leaders. When they came and asked, basically they were questioning John the Baptist, who do you think you are? And here's his answer. He goes, he did not fail to confess, but confess freely. I am not the Messiah, they asked him. Or they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? He said, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us the answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And John replied in these words. Look at this. John's a spotlight. The words of prophet Isaiah. I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now, the Pharisees who'd been sent questioned him. Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And he said, I baptize with water. But among you stands one you do not know. He is the one whom comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. And after Jesus launches his ministry, some people came to John and questioned him. And you know, with a question that would probably challenge like the average pastor. Hey, all these people are leaving your church, going to that guy's church. That's kind of what happens in this thing. Because they basically come up and say, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him. Might bury some lesser leaders, right? Watch this. To this, John replies, a person can receive only what's given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. It's now complete. He must become greater and I must become less. It's John's perspective here that he must, as we think about it, he must become less so that Jesus can become greater. I believe that this Christmas season, this ought to be the attitude that we have, that there be less of me and more of God. That we would live our lives in such a way as a spotlight, directing people's attention to Jesus and not to ourselves. From the very beginning of John's life, he understood that was what his life was going to be all about. Even in the womb, John knew that it wasn't going to be about him. Which is kind of interesting because babies are like the selfish, most selfish creatures on the planet. It's all about let them soil themselves or be hungry. It's all it didn't matter. It's all about them. And for the baby in that moment in the womb to leap because it wasn't about him. In the presence of the Savior, it was going to be about Jesus. Brought attention to the fact that Mary was carrying the very Son of God, the Savior of the world. I find that really interesting to me that this baby chooses to put the spotlight on another baby. John, even in his mother's womb, leapt for joy. When he starts his public ministry, he testified that he was not the light. He was not the light, but that he came to be a spotlight to point people towards the light. A little bit like we talked about last week, how we're like, in a sense, tinsel on the trees. We're not the light. We're here to reflect the light. Jesus is the light, we saw last week, and Jesus came along and said that you're the light, but the only reason why we're the light is because we carry Jesus. We're here to reflect the image of Christ to the world around us. I want to do that this Christmas season. I want to put the spotlight firmly on who it needs to be on, and that's Jesus Christ. I love this. Jesus, we heard the, you know, the cliche, Jesus is the reason for the season. You know that cliche, right? You see it? You know what Jesus would say? You're the reason for the season. Jesus put you first. And yes, Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason we celebrate. He's the only reason why we even have light is because he created light. Jesus is the reason for every single second of every single day. No question. But Jesus would say, I came to the planet because of you and for you. You're the reason. I came with you on my mind. The question becomes for us, if he's the reason for the season, and it is about us in from his perspective, how can we walk this kind of tightrope in a sense of not making it about me and making it about Jesus and Jesus alone? I think it's a good question to ask ourselves this Christmas season. Am I willing to make Christmas about Jesus and not about me? Am I willing to put the spotlight on someone else? And let me just go practical for a minute. So I gave you like the biblical background of the story where John the Baptist is meant to be pointing the way. But let's be honest with ourselves for just a moment, just being practical. I can make Christmas all about me. We are all just quite a bit dealing with, we can all deal with selfishness a little bit. Amen. Now, I know that some of us, you know, we like to think that we're, the older we get, the more mature we are. And so you've matured. And so it's not about you as much. And it's so much more fun to see the joy on other people's faces when they're opening the gifts you got for them. And I'm going here because, you know, y'all, we could all say that. But then, okay, a couple of Christmases ago, I got nothing for Christmas. Yeah, I say it, and I'm pausing for effect so that my kids feel really bad. But no, we've already fleshed this out. But I point that out because there was a moment. Now, again, I'm pointing out where your pastor misses the mark. Every once in a while, I like to do that. So you go, oh, he's real too. Yeah, I missed it completely. So we're enjoying Christmas. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you guys. And we were all done opening presents, and there was nothing there for me. And I whined about it. Well, not right then and there, but I whined about it later. My kids pointed out that I was whining about it, that I was all bitter and all that. Because right away, I made it about me. So the man of faith and power, with Jesus as the reason for the season, found a way to make it all about him. We can do that, can't we? Not you guys. It's just me. I'm the one that has the issue with that. We might say things like, you know, hey, it's my job to put the top on the tree. You know, don't decorate the tree without me. You know, we want to make it about us, you know, keeping with our traditions. Not another picture. Oh, gosh, another picture. You know what? We can change. We can start making it about us. There's moments where in the Christmas, who's coming over? Oh, they were here last year, you know. Right? That relative? Or we're going to whose house? Oh, can't we just stay? Make it all about us. The other night, I wasn't feeling too good. Back had been hurting quite a bit, and I just wasn't feeling it. But it was announced to me, and it was wonderful. It was announced to me the night before that I was going to have a family night. I was being forced into a family night. I'm saying that for effect. But it was announced to me that we're watching a Christmas movie, and we're building gingerbread houses. And I went, yay. And actually, the reality of it is I was excited about it because it was my idea. I mentioned it to my wife that, hey, I'd like to do a gingerbread house contest thing. And so the day comes, the next day comes, and it was that time, and I wasn't feeling it. And I really did want to just kind of blow it off, but everybody was there. And so I didn't make it up. And I had such a great time. Sometimes we just need to die to ourselves and make it about it. And then you never know what happens. You ever go to that pool party and that one person sitting over in the corner? You just want to push them in. Once they get in, it's all good. But it's all leading up to that. I was that guy the other night. I just didn't want to. I wanted it to be all about me. I wanted to watch in fact, they even said, we're really going to watch a movie while we're doing gingerbread houses. And they're like, yeah, no, we'll just have it on. I'm going, okay, good. Because when I watch a movie, I want everybody to be quiet and I want to listen to the movie. So I knew that it had to be a movie that I could care less about. So we put on a movie I could care less about because everybody's going to talk. But again, I made it all about me. We can make everything about me. We can make the dinner all about me. Oh, yeah, I did that. I've told this story before, but it's worth telling again because I'm just telling you how a pastor knows how to, I know how to screw this up. Christmas dinner a couple years ago, I get ready to pray for the dinner. I'm pretty prideful about my turkey. And it was horrible. I took a bite and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so I'm getting ready to pray. And I said, guys, I'm really sorry about the turkey. It's really dry this year. And I was so disappointed. You could see the look on my face. And the only non-believer at the table, we've got all Christians around the table, believers. Only non-believer person, not even raised in church, never been in church in their lives at all, interrupted me and said, well, I'm just grateful we have something to eat. Oh, stink. Paul, it was brutal, man. I was like, yeah, I made it all about me in that moment. It wasn't about me. And see, you know what I love? The Bible says the Lord chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Foolish thing. I'm not calling her a fool. I'm just saying that the Lord knows how to correct us. Let's be careful not to. And it's real easy. It'll creep in. Let's be careful to keep the spotlight right where it needs to be. Right where it needs to be. I know. Even as a kid, you know, you kind of get to. Did I get as much as my sibling got? You know, you're comparing presents. And none of you did that. Some of y'all are going to do it this year, too. You just are. Truth is, we put a lot of high expectations on Christmas, which is usually geared around what we want, what our desires are, what our traditions are. We always do it this way, and then somebody wants to do it different. And you're like, the heck, where'd they come from? Yeah, that's what happens. Well, it might sound harsh, but the truth is this. Sometimes in our selfish approach to Christmas, it may hurt people around us. Can I just remind us to be sensitive? Keep the spotlight on Jesus and you'll be sensitive to some things. There's some people that this is their first Christmas without fill in the blank. Let's be sensitive. Let's not make it about us. I remember just a couple of years ago, it was my first orphan Christmas. It was the first one without my father and my mother. And I was like, wow, that's just a weird feeling. Let's just be sensitive. Let's keep the spotlight exactly where it needs to be. This year, let's let John the Baptist kind of show us that it's really not about this right now. It's about this one who I'm not even qualified to untie his sandals. It's about the Savior of the world. Let's take the spotlight off of ourselves. And in a sense, this week, as you're running into people, I pray you will leap on the inside of you in the presence of Jesus. Let's purposefully and very practically think for ourselves of some things we can do that will help us to decrease so that Jesus can increase this season. So I'm going to get super practical. Is that okay for a minute? But for those of you that don't think it's okay, just tune out for a minute. But let me get practical. How about, and I've challenged you guys with a lot of things in the last couple of months, but how about starting from today through this, that you start every day thanking Jesus for coming to the planet, for saving you. That's why we sang that song, Savior. He's mighty to save. We sang that for that reason, because I wanted to point us back to the reality that Jesus came and it was all about you. How about taking a little bit of extra time? Every single time something warms your heart this Christmas. Some tradition, some wonderful thing. And I hope you catch this. I don't think I explained this very well last night. But every single time something amazing happens, and you're just like, oh, or you show up to somebody's house and you know, smells it. Every single time, remind yourself, you know, Jesus, it's all about you. I'm doing this. We're doing this today because this day is about you. Every single thing that you do as you're opening presents and rejoicing with your family and your friends, tell us all about Jesus. As you're eating your third piece of pie, Jesus, I'm doing this for you. I'm having fun, but you hear my heart. Because that's where gratitude, that's a place of gratitude. It's like, I can have a third piece. Don't, by the way, do three pieces of pie. That's not right. But I can. It's just some good ideas. Just to kind of keep it practical. How about just filling your house up with worship songs? I'm so grateful, Luann. I'll just say it publicly even. I said it last night, but I felt so bad over the last several weeks. My back's been bad, and I probably put on a better face than what, I mean, and guys are wimps anyway, by the way, but I probably put on a better face than what I let on. I was really hurting, and I walked in the office this last week. I think it was last week or the week before last, and she had Christmas music on, and I was like, oh, so much, because I just wasn't feeling it. It snuck up on me. I wasn't feeling good. I was definitely hitting the bah humbug. I was on the bah humbug train for sure. And Luann kicked me off the train. Get off the train. How about brightening someone's day by just looking at them and telling them Merry Christmas? Yeah. What about those days? I think it's important that we would do as Paul would say to the church of the Philippian church this Christmas season. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Yikes. Who, here's the mindset, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, by being made in human likeness, and by being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on the cross. If we can follow Jesus' example, I know this, we'll be able to change the focus from what do I get out of Christmas to how can I be a blessing to someone else this Christmas. Let me just end with this. I'm really, I could preach for another 10 minutes if I want to. Let me end with this because I think it's important. And worship team, I want you to come. We can think of creative ways to serve other people this Christmas. We have an opportunity this Thursday, if you're available during the day, to come on out for the food giveaway, the harvest. That's an opportunity to serve. Look around. Maybe there's somebody that doesn't have somewhere to go this Christmas. There's an opportunity for you to serve. You know, I love that. I love growing up. It seemed like one of the things my father did really well. I always called them strays, which is kind of rude, but my dad would bring home strays all the time. Stray people from the Navy that didn't have anywhere to go. They'd come home for Christmas. I'm like, here's my new uncle. It's like, he's a new uncle, like whatever. And we would meet new people all the time. You know, look around. Look for someone who's not looking like they're feeling it and brighten their day. That's how we put the spotlight on Jesus. It's not so much, and here's probably said all that to say this. This Christmas, let's not be so concerned about being distracted by the wrong things. And let's be more concerned about lifting up the right thing. So the world is attracted to the right thing. And the right thing is Jesus. He's our Savior. Amen.